There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
On today's How Do You Hustle, I'm talking to Alen, who is from La Fronte, a upcycling home decor and clothing brand based in Byron. I think this chat is really timely because obviously fast fashion and sustainability is such a big conversation at the moment, and really that emphasis on thinking about your global impact. And I think she sums it up really nicely. She started the brand last year in lockdown. And I know for a lot of people in Australia who are currently at home in our restrictions, hearing stories like that just are really light and something to give you that little bit of inspiration. I've had a little bit of a break from recording because I just found that everyone needed just a moment. There's a lot going on, and I think it's just nice to decompress for a little while, but I'm back and I'm really looking forward to recording some fresh episodes for you all to listen to, and I hope you enjoy. We have Alen, who is from La Fronte. She is the co-founder of the brand. Are you currently in lockdown?
We are in lockdown. There's a part of me that just doesn't want to complain because I feel like if there's a place where you would want to be in lockdown, it's probably Byron Bay.
Yeah. Definitely.
Like we have a big house and we have a little garden and we like can walk to the beach and just like run and be in nature. So like my partner surfs, so he just like goes and surfs, so because that's his exercise. So yeah, I feel it's still not fun to be just in the house the whole day, but
grouped up, yeah.
I feel like it's probably worse situations than
ours. I don't want to complain. I'm within exercise distance to St Kilda, so I can go down and be near the water too, but you know, it's tough. Tell us about La Fronte. So how did it start and what vision did you have when you did start the brand?
Well, it actually, it started like a few months after like March 2020 when the whole like COVID situation kind of happened. And well, we didn't stay in Australia. We didn't stay in lockdown really long. Everyone kind of went back to normal, but I was just kind of in a place where my job, my full-time job was taking a lot of my energy, and I work as a creative. I'm a fashion designer for a brand, and I just felt like I just needed something on the side just to kind of balance my life because I'm very passionate. So I was just kind of putting all that passions towards my main job. And so my partner and I, Lawrence, we were talking a lot about like starting a little business together, have a little like hustle on the side. It actually first started as selling vintage. It wasn't what it is today at all. It was all about sourcing vintage and then selling it. And then after a few months, I just was wanting to have a bit more of my input, because when you sell vintage, even though you can remake it, like create your own aesthetic, like you don't really have a big creative touch to it. Like it's still you finding stuff that already there. And I just wanted to find a way to express like my creativity. And I saw somewhere about upcycling vases, and then it just kind of ticked. And that's how I started, like started upcycling vases. And then after that, it kind of moved on to like different things. And I was like, oh, what else, what other things can I do from stuff that are already there, that already exist, and turn it into something new? So that was kind of, yeah, that was kind of how it started. So it was just vintage, and then I kind of moved away from the vintage and just concentrated on the upcycling.
Yeah, so I noticed you do things like those hats that you do in sort of toweling materials. So do you recycle used materials to make those?
Yeah. So it's all towels, like you know, like bath towels or beach towels, and they're all secondhand. And so, yeah, I just like cut the pieces out of that and just sew them, and it just turns into either a cushion or either a bucket hat.
They're so cool.
Yeah, we're looking at maybe other stuff, like maybe bags, like beach bags, or yeah, just other things that we could be doing. I just can't be doing the same thing over and over again. Like I can get a bit bored. Like, I just like constantly doing different things. So I just like how for 2 weeks I'm just going to do upcycling vases and the bazaar range. And then after that, I'm just going to move in onto cushions. And after that, I'm going to move on to bucket hats. And after that, I'm going to do arts. And it's just, I just always thrive to like have something different to do, because otherwise I just get bored. So I always like trying to find new stuff and like new ideas. And yeah,
I love it. And so where did the sort of color inspiration, you've sort of got a bit of a color palette happening of pastels and lots of, you know, really fun patterns. Where did you get that, I guess, idea and inspiration?
Well, there was this like huge, when I started upcycling vases, I just got really drawn to this like huge trend. I think it came from Europe, like from Denmark, and I think especially Denmark, it came from there, where they had all those like really like bright color, like pastel and mixed with bright colors, and there was this kind of really cool trend of checkered. So it was mainly in clothing, and I think there was this thing with rugs as well. There was like some checkered rugs that you could kind of see on few accounts, and I just loved it. And so I just like took it out and just like applied it on the vases. But then I was like, that's cool, but it's not 100% mine. Like I also need to find my own aesthetic, which has kind of happened when I started painting on art. Like I started painting artworks and stuff, and just, yeah, like mixing colors. Like that's something that I do a lot of work. I work a lot with colors and just, yeah, finding like cool combinations, and like I'm having fun with like forms and shapes, and it's just really interesting to see how colors react depending how you put them together. Like that's something that I've learned a lot through my main job, and so it's kind of really cool to be able to apply that to this part of my little this part of my life. But yeah, the pastel, I've just been very drawn to it by everything I've kind of seen out there. And then it's just so easy to match all these colors together.
Yeah, I feel like it's such a trend at the moment as well. Like
it definitely is a trend. I like, it's cool. Like I like that it's on trend, and I really like it. But also, I always want to also try like implement other colors and just like have a play and like never like stay dull and like always try different combinations, because I don't want to get bored, and I don't want people to get bored. And I feel like it's like, I work in fashion, so I know how it's just a cycle. It just goes in cycles. Like we're in the pastel cycles, who know what's going to happen in a few months. So I feel like right now everyone is loving pastels. Yeah. I'm wondering what is the next thing people are going to like, but at the same time, I just don't want to make things that are going to get out of date. Like I don't want people to feel like, oh, it's just in 6 months, I won't like it. That's why I still want to make it very personal and like really apply my art to it.
You're obviously from France, and the name also is French. So how long have you been in Australia, and how have you found it?
Actually, it's been like a bit more than 4 years now. So wow. Like 4.5 years. So I actually moved here just on a work holiday visa. I turned 30 and I was like, oh my God, like I hate my job. I hate where I'm living. Like I just need to do something. Like I just need to push my limits. So And Australia's kind of always been a place where I wanted to move since I was 18, but then you get caught up in life and studies and your career and stuff. So just kind of went back, moved to the back burner. But I got to this point, I was like, oh, I got good experience in life. Like I'm turning 30, like it's kind of now or never. So I just like left everything, moved to Australia, and I was like, oh, I'm just going to go travel and, you know, do little jobs. But then quickly I found a job in fashion, actually, almost as soon as I landed. So I was like, oh, I'll give that a try. And then that didn't pan out, but I was like looking for something else, hoping I could get a sponsorship. And then I did. Like I wasn't planning on moving to Byron Bay, kind of fell onto my laps. And I like got this job for this fashion brand, and yeah, very quickly they were like, yeah, we want you to stay, so we'll offer you a sponsorship. And I'm on my second one now with the same brand, so that's where I've been.
Where were you at first when you came to Australia?
I actually landed in Melbourne because I was like, oh, that sounds like the most European place.
Yeah.
Australia. I was like, that'll be a nice place to start. You know, I won't feel too homesick.
Yeah.
And then, but actually when I applied for that job, that first one, which was in Sydney. So I moved to Sydney for like 8 to 9 months, but I loved it there. It was awesome.
Beautiful.
Yeah. I moved to Newtown and it was so much fun. Like met amazing people. I was actually really sad to leave. And yeah, after that, Byron Bay.
It's hard to not like Byron.
Yeah, well, actually, it took me a bit of time. I've always been a city girl. Suddenly I always like would ride my bike everywhere and be like really free to just move like that. And here you just need a car and everyone is more spread out. It's all it was just, it's just totally different. Yeah. And I've never really experienced this. So it took me a bit of time to actually get used to it.
Byron's busier now. When I was a kid, I used to go there and it was the sleepiest, tiniest town. So it's so crazy now. I mean, it's still quiet, but it was tiny. Mm. And, you know, there is still only one road in, one road out. It's quite mind-blowing how popular it is now, but it's beautiful.
Yeah.
So obviously with La Fronte, you've kind of had sustainability front of mind and upcycling and things like that. So is sustainability and the future of our planet something that you constantly have in mind?
Yeah. Well, the brand I work for on the side is a sustainable brand. So it's I've learned a lot through them and I've seen the ins and outs of it. And I don't know, I just wanted to be able to create a line of products that is just, I'm just creating new things with old things. Cause when I actually started doing the vintage, I would go and like source like garage sales and all these places and all those like flea markets and stuff. And then there was all the stuff that everyone would kind of fight for because it's just the cool stuff. But then there was all this other stuff that was just kind of left behind because they were just kind of boring and not interesting. And I was like, oh, there's so much stuff, you know. Vintage sounds amazing because you're kind of recycling stuff that already there, but there's all this other stuff that also there, but no one wants them. And I was like, that's kind of what I wanted to do, is like, how can I make these stuff kind of appealing again? And it's like a lot of the stuff that upcycle, it's all like stuff from Kmart, you know, like I find the same shapes a lot, actually, just because it's all this like stuff that are mass produced by those big corporations and stuff. So I feel like instead of giving like a tiny life cycle, I'm like extending that life cycle. So, which I think is kind of the key in sustainability, is like instead of buying something that's going to last, I don't know, if like 2 months, 3 months, 4 months, it's like you extend that life cycle the longest as possible. And I think that's what sustainability is about. It's about like not constantly trying to create new, because that's actually what's costing the earth.
Yeah. And so I think people are more aware of that now. And certainly even, you know, with this show, it's something I always consider when I'm talking to potential guests, and as well as a consumer, you kind of look for that as well now. I know, for sure. Not everybody. But I know I was talking to you the other day and I saw some, I've seen a lot of stuff about at the moment, fast fashion, and you shared something as well about, you know, how, I won't name, but certain fast fashion brands are actually ripping off designers, artists, everything, and basically recreating the exact same duplicate under their brand. As someone who is a creative and works in the industry, like, how does that make you feel?
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
When you see that stuff going on every day, pretty much.
It's actually really heartbreaking. Mm-hmm. Because like, for example, recently I had to block someone because I get a lot of followers, but I like to go through because I always like to find new accounts that I might like, that I found inspirational, like people that I could collaborate with. So I always kind of look through people that are following me. And then there was this chick that started following me, and she was from, I won't name because you didn't name before, from this huge brand that also does,
they do
clothing, but they also do home decor. And so she had it named in her bio. And so I was like, oh my God, like she, you know, and I was like, I don't know my stuff, that especially what I do. It's like, I create one of everything. Like create that one vase, like that's the one, like there's nothing else. And the idea that a huge corporation could just like take that, replicate the shape, replicate the pattern and the colors, and make, I don't know how many hundreds of thousands of dollars off it when I probably made like $100. Like, it actually would really frustrates me. And it's like, it's just defeat the purpose.
It's not like, yeah.
Like the whole purpose of Lil Creative is like to be able for them to live off their creativity and then suddenly and do it as, and I feel like most of them are trying to do it sustainably as well and like be ethical and use manufacturers that are paid fairly, you know, there's none of that wiggle thing happening. It's not, it is all this clarity and this transparency about the supply chain and all this stuff. And when you think that a big corporation could just get in there, take the pattern, like take the design and just like turn it into a profit machine and just completely flawed like this design by like using horrible ways of producing it, you know, bad materials and treating people like that. There's so many of those fast fashion industries are using child labor and slavery labors. Like, it's just, yeah, I really hope people are going to wake up. And I think there's an issue. People are not, I've been used to a certain type of price and think that if it's above that price, if they can find the same product for a lower price, they think that that lower price should be the price. Like, you know, they don't realize that there's always another price behind the price tag. It's, if you're not paying $100 for a dress and you're paying 20 for it, who is paying for that dress? Like, that's probably would be the fabric is going to be bad and it's going to be produced with chemicals that are going to be released in the next river, and or like the labor is not going to be paid fairly. Like, you're not paying $100 that this dress should cost, someone else is paying that price. And it's like, I feel like people just really need to wake up, and like, if you pay something really cheap, there's a reason why it's cheap.
Yeah, definitely. I think you've summed that up so nicely. And I think people are waking up to it, but very slowly. And I think it's unfortunate because there are people who can't afford high price points, and we get that, but it's a shame that brands aren't willing to even make changes to kind of change the pattern. Something needs to change.
Yeah. Well, I used to work for fast fashion, and because I had no idea. And I've traveled a lot for those businesses I work for. They were French big brands back home. Mm. And I've seen it, like, I've seen it firsthand. Like, I've visited factories. I've seen how it's produced. I've seen who produced it. Like, they were telling us to wear masks. We were visiting a denim factory and we were wearing masks, like the same mask we're wearing today, you know, like those really thin masks. And they were like, it's not really protective, but it'll do the job just for like this little 20 minutes that you're going to be in the factory. And then I would look around and there was all those people spraying chemicals on the denims to give them their wash. And none of them was wearing masks. They were all like inhalating the whatever was coming out of the gun they were using to spray the chemicals. And they would spend their day there, like just doing that the whole day. And then those denim pants would get washed into like those big washing machines. And then you could see the whole water go into the drain. And then that would go out of the factory. And then they would go down the river. And then down the river, you could see a little village. And you're like, damn, like, I'm participating in this. And I saw the numbers as well. I saw how much they would order per year, like per season. And I was like, this is just us. And this is just one season. Like, how many other
imagine how many brands there are. Yeah.
Even higher volumes. And it's like, it was just, yeah, it made me lose balance at some point. I was like, those numbers are insane. Like, this is crazy how much we produce per year. Mm-hmm. And are people just consuming that once or like for one season? Yeah, it was really heartbreaking. And that's when I left and I moved to Australia. I was like, I want to try as much as I can to work for something a bit more like sustainable. Like, fashion is still a bit unsustainable, but I feel like we can do better. There's room to do better. And yeah, it's also like educating people. And I feel like I hope through Les Fontaines, I'm doing a bit of that. Like, I feel like I'm educating a bit, you know, like there's room to consume better. No one has to be perfect. It's not about being perfect. We like, sometimes I buy a dress, I have a big crush and I buy something and, you know, it happens, but you know, it doesn't have to be.
No, it's just doing your bit as much as you can. Yeah. That sort of takes me to my next point. Like, I've noticed when I came across your brand, I loved it, by the way, obviously. But the thing that drew me the most to it is your Instagram. It's so beautiful. And obviously you've got your beautiful color palette that you use for your creations, but you've just done such a great job of the whole thing. And it clearly is paying off because you've got a lot of followers. So how do you think Instagram has played a part in how your brand has gone? And I guess the kind of the direction it's gone in the past year?
Well, I feel like I've been really lucky to work in for the business I'm working on, because we are small quite a small enterprise. There's just like maybe 10 or 12 of us. So everything is quite open. And I've learned a lot being in contact constantly with the marketing team. And I've just like kind of been putting my ideas out there and like helping them like a little bit there and there. And I feel like it actually has helped me a lot create my own, like my own aesthetic. Like I've realized how important visuals can be. And I don't know, I just feel like I took a lot of learnings from that, and it really helped me because I'm actually not a marketing person at all. I've never really been good at that. It's not really something that I was interested in, and like I really got interested in it by working for the business I'm working for at the moment full time. And yeah, and I'm still learning, to be honest. There's still a moment where I like do a post and I'm like, oh, I don't know if I should have done that. Like I'm still working on my aesthetic constantly. I'm like, oh, I want less of this and I want a bit more of that. Like at the moment, I'm questioning myself a lot. I want to look a bit more, you know, a bit more expensive. You know, I want to be able to like talk to a wider audience, not just like, I feel like my audience can be quite young and I just really want to expand and like talk to a bit more like older customers. And so like that's something I'm trying to work on at the moment. And so yeah, it's like it's never still like when I look back and I go down my feed and have a look at what I used to do and like what I do now, like you can really see like the difference. And I feel like that's kind of the thing with Instagram, is like you always have to change and like learn from your mistakes and like just kind of grow with your audience a little bit.
Have you had moments where someone's followed you and you've kind of been like, oh my gosh, they're a big deal?
Oh yeah, I had that once and I was like frothing. I had Florence Given following me. I was I can shut the whole thing down. I'm done. I can die now. I was really stoked because she's like, I've read her book and I'm quite a feminist myself.
Yeah.
So I was like, I want people, I like people that actually have a voice and like have stuff to say, like following me. I feel very special. Like if they find something in my account that resonates with them, like, and because they resonate with me on like a deeper level, not just on the aesthetic, but because they have a real message, or, you know, because they're very sustainably driven, you know, like that really talks to me.
It's such a compliment. You mentioned obviously you are currently still working. Are you getting busier with doing La Fronte as a side hustle, or are you finding the balance quite easy currently with your current job now that you're in lockdown?
No, it kind of feels the same. Because I'm still working from 8:30 to 4:30. So that hasn't changed. Like I'm still like doing my job, and I would love for it to kind of become its own thing. But at the moment, I'm just kind of enjoying what it is. Because I'm on a visa until next year at least. So for now, there's no hope for me like moving to full time. Like I'm on a visa, I'm going through with it. I don't know what's going to happen after that, but I still have like a full year ahead. And like, I do enjoy that balance. Like I like that I'm not stressed about it. Like I have no stress about this business. Like I don't need it to pay my bills. Like it really is just about what I enjoy doing. Like it's not about, oh my God, is that going to sell? Like, am I going to make enough money so I can pay for the rent? Like I don't have to worry about all these questions. It's really is just about, oh, I want to do this, or even what I don't want to do. Like there's weeks where I don't want to do anything. When I do the cushions, especially, they're extremely time consuming. There are a lot of work, and sometimes I spend like 2-3 weeks, like heads down my sewing machine. And I just don't want to do anything for like a week or two after that. I just want to chill, watch TV, go do my things, see my friends. And just being able to do that is just so amazing right now, you know, like when I feel like if that was my full-time job, like if I was depending on this business to make a living, it would be quite stressful. And right now
it's stressful. It, yeah.
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 So I kind of enjoy that at the moment.
It stays as like your passion project, sort of.
Exactly. There's no there's not as much pressure. I used to put a lot of pressure on myself at first when I started, and then now just kind of, yeah, I found a chill, like I'm more chill with it. I'm just like, well, it sells, it doesn't sell, that's fine. And I usually, when something doesn't sell, I just give it to an op shop, and it's like I feel like I'm giving back.
I love that idea. I can relate to that concept because I work mm-hmm. full-time in communications and PR, working with not-for-profits. Yeah. And then this podcast is actually my side hustle. So this is kind of my nice little outlet. And I love hearing people's stories and talking to creatives who are doing really cool things and people that are trying to make a difference. So, yeah, I can relate to that idea. And the thought of when something becomes your job, it definitely changes the dynamic.
Exactly. Yeah. I really feel like it would.
What would your advice be to someone that might want to do something like what you're doing if they're battling with not feeling like they can?
I think the hardest is to actually take the step. Mm. Like, and after that, things kind of come together, and like you just grow with it, and you just learn, and you just like get better at what you do. And like, you know, I made mistakes and I'm like trying to fix them, and like, I'm like, I'll never do that again, but I can try that. Like, it's just a journey. And like, that's what's fun as well. It's the journey. When I think about when I started and where I am now, I still have the same doubt constantly, but I've come so far because I've learned so much. So I feel like the hardest is to take that step. But once you've taken it, like you embark in that journey, every time you make a sale or every time you get a message from someone or like you contacting me, it's like, oh, okay, I'm doing something good.
If people want to find your creations online, how do they find it?
So it's lefronte.au. So it's lefronte.au. And it's the same thing for the website. It's just lefronte.com.au. Yeah, as long as you get the spelling of our names right, you'll find us easy, I think.
Great. Well, thanks so much for joining us, Ellen. It's been so nice to talk to you.
It was so nice to talk to you too. Thank you so much.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
Hey, marketers. Want a matchmaker to set you up with your perfect audience? Well, look no further. Get intimate right away with host-read sponsorships with Acast. Use Acast's self-serve ad platform to search and partner up with a podcaster or two from our network of more than 100,000 shows. Have them sing your praises in their own words. And get their listeners ready to be wooed into loyal customers. It's the ultimate loving endorsement. Book host-read sponsorships with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.